Isn't God good? You know, sometimes we forget that. And particularly, people in our age group can forget that very easily, because we're at the age group where things sometimes just don't work. Sometimes they don't work as good as they used to. And so it's easy to get discouraged. I know some of you have gone through a lot. We've got some of our church family going through a lot right now. But let me encourage you with a good word. God is in control. That was part A. Part B is God loves his children. That was part B. Here's part C. God's Holy Spirit deeply desires to be a part of our life. Now, that last statement, part C, is where we're going to be dwelling this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, I say this a lot, I know, but
how much time.
5 verses last week. Let's read them. I'll try to not spend too much time there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Now, one of the commentary writers that I read this week made a point that I really hadn't thought of. I really didn't know to think of it, but there in, you know, in those early years of the church in the book of Acts, the church grew and multiplied, and it just went hog wild like a wildfire. The gospel went out. The churches were built. And when he says all of Achaia, that's where Ephesus was. That's the general region where Ephesus was. And he was telling the truth. I mean, the gospel went out and it multiplied. Paul says, I'm writing to you. Timothy's here, and I'm in the will of God. I'm an apostle that gives his authority. Now, why does he have to give his authority? Because there are false teachers that has crept into the church at Corinth, and they are denying the apostleship of Paul. And Paul says, listen, I'm the real deal. There's nothing in me that's good, but God's Holy Spirit has decided to use me, and I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, and I am in the will of God, and that's why I'm about to write to you. Today, professionally, you've got too much to say, but I want to say this to you. Today, when a Christian's up here this morning, now you can say this about a lot of churches, I know, because I listen, I scan the radio. See, I'm still in school, I listen to the radio, and I scan the radio, and I hear preachers and I hear teachers. There's just not a whole lot of Bible teaching and preaching going on out there. There's a lot of sentimentalism. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I hear something and I'm like, you drop it down the road and I hear all this. And then I have to slap myself. Hey, what good was the gospel just presented? Was any doctrine just given from the Word of God? Well, see, that's sort of the church culture that we live in. And we are in a church where the Word of God is taught Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Brother Chris preaches, Sunday down Brother David, Brother Chris on Wednesday, and that's one of my favorite services. That's because it's Bible exposition. It's straight Bible. Brother Chris is going through a verse, and then you know where he goes after that verse? He goes to the next verse. You know, that's Bible exposition. That's what we need, that's what I need, and that's what you need. That's what you get here in the Bible Baptist Church. I feel like I was going somewhere good at that point. Paul looks at the situation and he says, look, here's what you need. You've come a long way. You've come a long way. Your church was messed up, and I wrote this 1 Corinthians letter to you to get these things fixed, and to a great degree they are fixed. He says, let me tell you what you need next. You need to listen to God's Holy Spirit as he tries to control your life. Verse 2 says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed or praise. Blessed be God. Praise God. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Father of mercies. Did you know everything that you have and that I have is by his mercy? We don't always acknowledge that, do we? The Father of mercies. All mercy that is ever to be given is to be given by him. And the God of what? Somebody. All comfort. The God of all comfort. Chapter 1, it's comfort of God in life's plans. Chapter 2, it's God's comfort in restoring a sinning brother or sister. You remember that guy in First Corinthians? The brother who was excommunicated from the church because of incest in the family, sexual immorality with his stepmother. You remember that? The church did follow Paul's advice, and they it was hard, I'm sure it was tough, but they sent him away and he came back repentant. Great news. Wonderful, wonderful news. And so chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is all about God's comfort, and they all have to do with God's Holy Spirit calling the shots through the Word of God in conjunction with His church. We have such a trifecta, a wonderful opportunity here. We got the Word of God that's given to us. We got an ability 3 or 4 times a week to come in and be affected, our hearts be affected. Remember, there's a special dynamic that exists when God's people come together and they submit their hearts and their minds and their ears. They subject themselves to the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. That's a special dynamic. That's a movement. And here he says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The Greek word for comfort is the paraclete, and it just means being called to one's side. If Linda had a flat going home and I passed by her car and I stopped and helped her change that flat, I would be her paraclete. I would come along and just help her at whatever the need was. That's a paraclete. In John 14, verse 18, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. And that word comes from a Greek word which means orphan. He says, you're not going to be without parents as a child of God. I'm going to provide you comfort. I'm going to be called to your side. I will not leave you orphans. I will send the comforter to you, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his own disciples in John 16, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. We're so good, our generation especially. And those generations right before us, we were so good at keeping a schedule and going to church, you know? I mean, if you went to church, you pretty much, you did it. I'm not, you know, you can't make a broad statement about every entire person. But for the most part, what was good about that generation before my generation, your generation, is that keeping to that, because that's important. But there's always a danger when we do something physically and we're good at it and we stick to it and we forget, hey, there's a spiritual part of this too. We gotta allow God's Holy Spirit to move us, and gotta allow God's Holy Spirit to help us along and be our helper. The psalmist says in Psalm 30, verse 10, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. If we ever get too big, well, we don't need the helper of the Holy Spirit, and we're in the wrong place. We're in the wrong place. And that perfect trifecta, that three-pronged wonderful thing, is the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and this. We're going to see how, you know, this started in our class the past 3 or 4 years when we started going through 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and then 1 Corinthians, and we found out that, hey, you know what? So much of my life as a Christian should involve you. I can't just go through my Christian life as a child of God and not be concerned about you. Now, we can't solve everybody's problems, but we can do what we can to help and assist our brother and sister in Christ. And he says in verse 4, back to our text, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Now, when Paul was in Ephesus, he had some suffering. When Paul was in Ephesus, he had some jail time. He had some riots that happened, and he had he alludes to his infirmities. Some of those infirmities might have happened in those riots. We don't know. We don't know the extent of that. But he suffered for Christ, and he says, look, it was for you. It was for the gospel. In verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. We find that Paul is going to talk a great deal about the trouble that he had and was presently having, and how God stuck with him through it all. God's Holy Spirit ministered to him and was a paraclete. God's Holy Spirit came up alongside him, and each step of the way he gave him comfort. And then in verse 7 he says, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the salvation, or the comfort. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were oppressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Things can get so bad in our life that sometimes we just want to despair even of life. He doesn't give us any details on that. The statement says it all. He was at the bottom of the barrel. For Paul, the Apostle Paul, to say something like that, we were pressed out of measure, insomuch that we even despaired of our life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. He said, look, I didn't place my faith and trust in me. So if I died, if those troubles killed me in my ministry and in my service to the Lord, God's still in charge. Then he says in verse 10, and this is, I hope you take time to read this real slow. I want to read it real slow. Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, or I'll say our language, and does deliver, is presently delivering, and in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. This is wonderful. It explains why God permits us to have trouble or be sick or be in situations where we might not want to be, because God's got something for us there. And the end result is not only just for us, but it's for our consolation and comfort of other people. Paul says, God that raised the dead, he delivered us when we were in that mess. He says, he's delivering us right now. And I trust that he'll deliver us way on into the future. He will yet deliver us. He says in verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us. Boy, prayer's pretty important, isn't it? For the Apostle Paul, who's been given this great gift by God, to do things that were beyond his physical ability to do and beyond his intellectual ability to think and to say, for him to say, hey, you know what was important for me when I was going through all that? You prayed for me. Prayer is just not something that you and I should sit down and do at the table. Hope we're doing it at the table, but prayer is something that we should be sincere about. We're talking to the Creator who made all of this. He made these bodies. You say, well, he didn't give me much to work with. Well, that may be. And who takes it from us, from my lips and your lips, Georgina? Who takes it from our lips to God who created this whole thing? says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." Paul says, man, I know you guys were praying for us. I know you were. "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we had our conversation in the world." Conversation just means manner of life, how you acted, how you responded, what you said and how you thought and how you came off to people. That's your conversation, our manner of life in the world. "But by the grace of God, we've had our manner of life in the world and more abundantly to you word." Paul's saying that by God's grace, suffering has produced this in his life, and it produced it in such a way that it was good for the Corinthian people, the Corinthian church. And Paul's going to let us know that, and this is a hard one. This is a hard one. Did I tell you that this is a hard one? Are you ready to hear some hard news? Suffering is a mercy from God. Ooh. I don't like hearing that. I'll just be honest with you. Suffering is a mercy from God. If God did not care for me, if God did not care that I was headed down a path that was going to be detrimental to my Christian life and to my relationship with him and with you and with my wife, if he didn't care, he wouldn't bring any correction my way. He just let me go on. But by his mercy, he tries to show us. And sometimes the show hurts. "For we write none other things unto you than what you read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. And also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence I was minded to come to you before, that ye might have a second benefit." Paul's saying, look, wasn't I blessing to you the first time when I came through, when I started the church? And you know, it wasn't really Paul, it was God's Holy Spirit who brought Paul to the church at Corinth. He says, now I'm going to come a second time, and I want to be a blessing to you. And I'm going to do it, as verse 12 says, not in fleshly wisdom. If I get up behind this pulpit, or Brother Stacy or anybody else in this church, if we get up here with fleshly wisdom, it'd do you more good to go home. But the one thing we got going for us here at Bible Baptist Church is this. I may or may not like the speaker. I may or may not like how he speaks. I may or may not like his temperament. But if he's preaching the word of God, it's yay, it's positive, it's good. And you and I need to be mature enough to see that. We need to be mature enough to get in here and be seated. And when that preacher starts speaking and God's word is given, you say, we have the maturity to say, hey, this is God's word. Boy, he's annoying when he talks. Not God, but the speaker. Boy, he's got a temperament that I don't like. But you know what? He's got a temperature that I don't like, and he's annoying, but it's God's word, and I need to hear it from him. That's maturity right there. To recognize and respect the word of God so much that if you know it's being given, you go and you subject your heart and mind to it. He says back in verse 12, he uses the words simplicity and godly sincerity. Simplicity. Our message, just like we found out in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, our message needs to be so simple and so sincere that any lost person can come through those doors and be seated and know what it is. Know what God's word is saying. And when that is given out, that's the whole purpose of the church, by the way, is to spread the gospel. And when we do that, we're going to find out in chapter 2 here in a week or two, if I ever get to it, we're going to find out that it's going to be that message of the Word of God is going to be a savor of life unto life or death unto death. See, when the message is given out, it's going to either be accepted or it's going to be rejected. And we're going to see where Paul says, look, our purpose as a child of God, as a church, is to get the message out. And for those who accept the message, that's good. That's life. Life unto life. The result is life unto life. Some will reject it. And that to them will mean their demise, their doom, because they respect the mess. They rejected the message of the Word of God. But he does it in simplicity, because you don't need anything else. You don't need a doctorate. You don't need great speaking skills. You don't need persuasion. And all those things are important to some degree as far as human people go, human beings. But this is a dynamic that we've got. The dynamic is composed of the Word of God being translated by the Spirit of God in the house of God. And that's where that special dynamic is, that special movement is. So that's where we'll pick up next week. And I trust that... trust that you have a good week. And as we go through this book of 2 Corinthians, read ahead. Don't let it be the first time when we get into Sunday school, the first time you're there. Read ahead and ask God's Spirit to open up the meaning to you and the purpose and the intent of what we're reading. Okay, would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for bringing us to your house, Lord, and we're so grateful that God's Holy Spirit is so willing to bring understanding, and we're so grateful that God's Spirit is so willing to bring discretion and good judgment. And thank you for putting this trifecta together for your people, the fact that we have the Word of God, the fact that God's Holy Spirit so desires to be a controlling part of our life, and that here at our fingertips, here not in this building but in this gathering here at Bible Baptist Church, we have a very necessary and needful part. And God, together, we've got an opportunity to learn your Word, be brought understanding by your Spirit. And we're grateful that you didn't leave us down here with no information, just a black hole, just a nothingness. And that's how some people live, we know, Lord, but you brought us the answer. It's your Word. It's what we're going to be judged by in the future. Thank you for that, Lord. Now, as we go to our morning service with Brother Chris, I pray that there'll be a lot more people in here, Lord. I just pray that you would help him remember what he's prepared, and we pray that God's Spirit would so move in his mind and in his heart that he would be confident and that he would be authoritative, not because of himself, but because it's your Word. And we pray that your Word would go out and not return unto you void, because this is an important time. This is a time when you can move among your people. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.